Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
In this special audio cast, we learn about the pilgrims who came with me on my Holy Land trip, and I take their questions and hopefully give them the right answers. So sit back and...
1, 2, 3!
Listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo, for a deep dish discussion as I engage questions and answers from pilgrims who attended a pilgrimage with me, co-hosted by singer-songwriter Steve Angrisano in the fall of 2019. So whether you're listening to this soon after it's airing or whenever you listen to it, you might find some of their questions incredibly relevant to your own experiences. And they always say there are no bad questions, just the ones that are not asked. And it's funny because when you put a microphone in someone's face, they change. They don't even want to ask the questions publicly. It's funny because on the pilgrimage itself, they couldn't stop asking me questions. But you put the microphone in front of them, they get a little nervous, perhaps. So welcome, folks, to my world. But we do a live show, and it's just great to actually have an audience, and even more amazing to get to know some of the pilgrims. Some of them might even surprise you. You know, I get a lot of non-Catholics, and I even get some people who believe many different things, even other than Christianity, including one incredible example of fidelity, even if that person was a professed, quote-unquote, atheist. So this is going to make for an amazing discussion, Q&A experience, which I hope you have fun listening to. This special episode brought to you by SelectInternationalTours.com, who hosts many of my pilgrimage experiences, and I go to some pretty amazing places. So join me on a future trip or go on one of their tours and just simply reach out to them at 800-842-4842. They've got a compassion for the pilgrim and a passion for the pilgrimage experience. And more Shoot the Shiitake with my pilgrims in just a moment. And thank you all very much. Welcome to Shoot the Shiitake for a deep dish discussion. This is Father Leo, and I am here with a bunch of pilgrims who are with me on the Holy Land. Did you all have a good time?
Yes.
And we are on a rooftop overlooking the city of Jerusalem, and it is Yom Kippur, which basically means a time of atonement, and we are into that festivity with drinks in our hand. Good for you, Catholics. Good for you. And we have got Steve Angrisano, who is with me, and his beautiful wife, Ginny, Virginia. Steve, yes. You were the musician on this trip. This is kind of like your first real pilgrimage experience.
To the Holy Land, for sure. Absolutely.
But you've been on other pilgrims before, right?
Yes, to Rome, stuff like that.
Okay, well, I mean, you just ate your way through Rome.
You know, you haven't been on a pilgrimage, so you've gone with Father Leo on a pilgrimage. And you eat well, and you sleep well, and
no, but
you
pray well. Don't, I mean, this is not a plug for Father
Leo's
pilgrimages available at fatherleofeast.com/travel. Okay? No. This is really about your kind of first time being led as
it
a pilgrim,
is.
But you were also kind of like the resident music minister. And you did Steve not minister to you when he was playing this? So, Steve, why don't you tell us first of all who you are for anyone who might not know you because they were living underneath a rock of some sort.
I'm a musician and a speaker. I publish with Oregon Catholic Press. I do a lot of parish missions and speak at conferences. And I've done pilgrimage to Rome and pilgrimages to World Youth Day. But this is the first time I've really taken my wife on a pilgrimage where it was one part music and ministry, but a true part of just experiencing it and allowing myself to be a pilgrim as well. And in no particular order, but I'll tell you, as a musician, to stand up every day, to stand on the altar in Bethlehem, to stand on an altar.
By the way, to clarify, sanctuary.
Sanctuary.
Because you're not standing on the altar. I'm going to get some listeners
correct.
Be like, you let him stand on an altar? I mean, I'm like,
fair enough.
Get over
fair
yourselves,
enough. And
people.
Sometimes, right. Literally, sometimes leading from the choir loft or doing music from just down on the front row. But the churches that we went to, the places that we prayed.
So what would be a profound experience for you? And by the way, here's how we're going to do this, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be hearing some comments from the trip, and then we're also going to be asking some questions. But for you, like, what was a profound... I mean, look, we're in the Holy Land. Every day, every moment was a profound moment. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. So what I want to do is hear from you. For you, as a pilgrim, as a music minister, what was a profound moment for you?
The most profound thing for me was meeting the Arab Christians in the West Bank, meeting families who are living under duress and have very little resources, and praying with them. We had one night where we went to their homes, and I played the guitar as their 8-year-old son danced and sang and flossed with Father Leo. And
yeah, by the way, that's a dance. I didn't actually hold like dental floss to his mouth because that would get me arrested, I'm sure, somehow.
I think that is the tip of an iceberg for me, which is if I were trying to explain this trip to someone,
yeah,
I would say we live 2,000 years from and half a world away from this place, most of us in the United States listening to this podcast, and to come here and to touch and taste and know where Christ has been, to meet people who are praying here and all of the craziness that is the Arab world and Israel and the political situation.
Did you feel unsafe in any way?
I never felt unsafe one time. And we took
and
quite a few trips.
And you get nervous.
I was a little
Jenny's
nervous.
Like,
I was
he
a little nervous about it. I was a little nervous about hopping in a cab and going to someone's house in the West Bank. And it is the singular experience that transformed me, being in Bethlehem, touching the altar, touching the spot of the birth.
You're naming more than one profound experience.
I
now.
Am.
I'm kidding. Because it's because it
am.
Is true.
You can't. And not to mention that I literally must have not, my body did not agree with Arab food from the beginning, you know? And to say that there's been a sort of a cross to carry this entire trip. And I'm saying this with genuineness. So I wanted to go to confession this trip because I wanted it to be a true pilgrimage. And I delayed and I delayed. And two nights ago, someone said, Father Leo is the best person to go to confession. His attitude, his acceptance, his love. And I mean, it is true. He's a great confessor, but when I tell you I was healed in more ways than one that night, and I mean instantly healed, I'm not even kidding you. I'm not kidding you. This is just amazing and regular experience that I had with you. So
in other words, confession cleans up all the crap in your life, basically.
It does.
Is that what you're saying?
Emotional, spiritual,
I love
physical.
It. All right. So by the way, we are now, thank you, Steve. Why don't we give it up for Steve? Because he has been an amazing part of this trip. Now, we've got some questions that people are going to be asking us as well. And then once Steve moves on, then we're going to get someone to sit in the hot seat to make a comment. So why don't we do this? We've got another pilgrim here. Why don't you tell us your name and tell us what your question is?
Hi, my name is Barbara Gilligan, and I'm actually on this pilgrimage as well. But I have a question for Father Leo.
All right, here's the question.
With all of the talk with the media, so many times the word judgment, not judging, I can't judge, this, that, and the other thing. How do we teach our children right from wrong when every other word is, well, you can't judge this and you can't judge that, even though many times I feel like a situation should be judged, maybe not the person, but I'd like to get some clarity on that.
So we've got, awesome, that is awesome. So we've got the idea of judgment. And it's interesting because in the scriptures, it talks about Jesus making judgments for sure. Jesus does make judgments. But I think what we've got to do is make sure we're not judging a person, but we're making decisions about actions. And the fact is, when you actually make a decision about the action, you actually are making a judgment, but not about the person. So I always like to tell people that if you want to be honest with yourselves, if we stand before the court of law, who is Jesus Christ, He is going to say to you, the verdict is guilty. I mean, we can all admit, but the sentence is mercy. And I hope you can see, if we try to translate that in our life, it kind of makes it a little bit, how shall I say, less judgmental. Because the fact is, we're all going to have to figure out what's good for us. But if we can be merciful in doing so, that might help. Does that help you a little bit? Well, that was an awesome question. Let's get it for Barb in that, because for some reason, people are just afraid to ask questions, even though they're constantly stopping me and asking questions. But now we've got a comment. So why don't you tell us your name and where you're from, and then we will hear what you have to say about this pilgrimage experience.
Okay, I am Beth Leonard, and I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana. I just wanted to tell you that I've been on other pilgrimages with you, but this was just, I mean, it was a calling. I think that you are called to Israel. I've been pretty tight with Jesus and Mary, you know, for a long time, and it's just like they're calling me to come and see more. And I loved being able to just come in and see the scriptures come alive.
Absolutely. So let me ask you about that. The whole scriptures coming alive, people say that. Do you all, I'm just going to ask the gallery here, do you all see the Bible a little differently now that you've been here? Okay, so tell me one thing for you. What will be different from you in reading the scriptures because of this experience?
Okay, that's a good question, because there were lots of things, but I guess the crow was really one of those things.
The crow?
The crow.
You mean
the rooster.
The rooster. Okay.
The rooster crowing.
Tell me about the rooster.
Okay, with Peter hearing the rooster crow three times or two times in one.
So you're talking about, there's a church called Ingalikantu, and that is dedicated to when Peter denied Jesus three times.
Yes.
And Jesus kind of prophesied. He says, you know, before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times.
Yes.
And tell us what you got out of that.
So then we found out that there were no roosters in this area at that time because they felt that they were dirty. So they were outside the city.
Chickens and roosters are nasty creatures.
Yes.
Why we have turkey as the American national dish is beyond me. It's really quite unbelievable.
Okay, very true. But so we heard that there was a call, a Jewish call to prayer early in the morning, which would have corresponded with Peter being out in the courtyard early in the morning, and that call to prayer would have happened two times and then a third.
That's right, because it actually, y'all remember that? It wasn't actually a rooster. It was before the crier calls out, you would have denied me three times. And it was because from like our Muslim brothers and sisters, they have the minaret from which they proclaim parts of the Quran. And you all heard that early in the morning and throughout the day. They're literally just kind of calling out prayers. And I'm not going to pretend to know what they're saying, but it is kind of a shocking thing. And so basically that happened very early in the morning. And Peter denied Jesus three times. Now, there was another really powerful moment there, too. Do you all remember when our guide named George Stefan, who we all love, do we agree?
We love George.
Yeah, I mean, like,
yes, we love George.
George is amazing. He actually talked about how the charcoal smell, the smell of charcoal is what he remembers when he denied Jesus three times. And after the resurrection, he gets off the boat in the Sea of Galilee, and he knew instantly that it was Jesus, not simply because he knew it was Jesus, but that smell of that charcoal. And remember, he denied Jesus three times, and then after the resurrection, Jesus asks him three times, do you love me, do you love me, do you love me? Feed my sheep, tend my flock, feed my sheep. And so that really is a beautiful thing. And you see how you're putting the pieces of the puzzle of the scriptures together.
And I did not know how important Joseph of Arimathea. I mean, I've always had a soft spot in my heart for Joseph of Arimathea. But I did not know that he possibly gave him the upper room also, that he was the man. That was just astounding.
So and for all of these listeners who'd be like, what's going on here? We even learned about a secret society called the Essenes, who were celibate males who really believed that Jesus was the Messiah. And Joseph was known as a secret believer of Jesus. And that's why he approached Jesus at night, because he was being secretive. And eventually, what you do in the dark will be revealed at night. And we just know that Joseph was the hero. So we love Joe. So these are awesome. I'm so glad, Beth, that you've been on multiple trips. Let's give it up for Beth Leonard from Indianapolis. All right. Tell us your name and where you are from, and then you get a chance to ask a question. Go for it.
I'm Kathy Kebschel from Tucson, Arizona. And today we visited St. Anne's Church.
Uh-huh.
And I'm curious because I don't think that the Bible teaches us much about the relationship that Mary and Joseph and Jesus would have had with his grandparents.
I love that. Yeah. Who here knows their grandparents? Raise your hand. Okay, so that's the majority of people. And in Jesus's time, you can see how, like, in the Bible, and well, hold on a second. Being here in the Holy Land, do you see how tight families are? They literally live on top of each other. In fact, the children are responsible for taking care of their grandchildren, excuse me, their children and their parents. And so when you say, well, what was Jesus's relationship like to like St. Anna and St. Joachim? Because we visited Anne's church today where they have this beautiful big church with amazing acoustics. And of course, we beat all of the other music group churches that showed up for sure, did we not? I mean, we definitely did because Steve led it. But then it makes you ask, well, what was Jesus's childhood like? Well, let's put it this way. If there was an aberration in the norm, it would show up in the scriptures. Does that make sense? But if it was a normal thing, then it would just be a normal thing. And so Jesus's relationship with his grandparents would be a very, very normal thing and a very loving thing. And you think about it, if he's coming from like Holy Mary, Mother of God, and St. Joseph was no slouch in holiness either, then you can only imagine, because Joseph came from a righteous lineage, then most definitely Mary's mom and dad, Jesus's grandparents, were definitely involved. And I actually write about this in my book, Available At, right? So like, because I just think that we're losing a sense of grandparents. We're forgetting old people. And if you do that, your children will not know how to grow old gracefully. They will fear getting old because they're going to feel like no one's actually caring about them. So I can tell you this, Jesus cared for his Nana and Peepaw or whatever you people call them these days. You know, what do you call grandparents?
Nana and Papa.
There you go. So Jesus had a Nana and Papa. That was awesome. Thank you very much. And we've got one more comment before we take a quick little break. Tell us your name, where you are from, and what would you like to tell us about your pilgrimage experience in the Holy Land 2019?
My name is Susie Bunnell, and I'm from California. My comment about the pilgrimage, I've been blessed to be able to go on several pilgrimages with teens and with Steve, and my first awesome pilgrimage with Father Leo. But I just wanted to share with, this is my second trip to the Holy Land, and I can tell you that when I went home the first time, going to Mass, And I hope that this is all for all of you. I mean,
That's okay.
When you go home and you go to Mass, the Gospels, when the readings and the Gospels in church are just going to, they just pop out to me now. I mean, and they're even more when I go home after this pilgrimage.
Absolutely.
And it's just such a beautiful feeling because when they mention all the names and all the places that we have been able to experience, you picture it in your mind, and
yeah.
It's just so beautiful. And I mean, Mass just becomes so much more meaningful to you and so much more spiritual. So I just wanted to share that with you, and it was just nice meeting all of you and sharing this experience with you.
Let's give it up for Susie. I can't tell you how many people say that. They talk about how the scriptures come to life. But what do they call the Bible? The living word of God. Why is it living? Because it's in you. It literally makes you alive. And I'll just say this because I said it in one of the homilies before too. It's like a lot of people be like, but y'all Catholics don't read the Bible. Have you heard that before? And I'm like, read it. We wrote it. It's actually our book. And you went to the cave where St. Jerome translated the scriptures in a language that no one understood into a language that people can continue to proclaim it. That's exactly right. That is exactly what this is all about. And when we come back, we are going to shoot the shiitake more with comments and questions about the Holy Land here on Shoot the Shiitake. We'll be back in just a moment. We hope you're enjoying this special episode of Shoot the Shiitake, and if you want to support our conversations that lead to conversions, then tell family, friends, parishioners, and pastors to sign up for this podcast and register on their favorite podcast platform, and consider supporting us, as we definitely need the help. Just go to patreon.com/FatherLeoFeeds and help us to spread the good news far and wide. Please and thank you. Hey, and welcome back for a deep dish discussion. We are overlooking Notre Dame Center, and I've got two special people here. We're just taking questions and comments about our experience of the Holy Land, and I've got a dynamic duo here, and I want to just introduce them right now. We've got...
Pinky Stoldreyer.
Okay, but your real name is...
Prathima Stoldreyer.
Okay, mm-hmm. And who's this guy sitting next to you?
This is my husband, Dave.
All right, and you came on this trip... Tell us, how did you learn about it, and why are you here, and what did you get out of it?
Okay, so I am not Catholic. My husband is Catholic. We learned about the trip from a good friend, Beth Leonard. She told us about the trip, and my husband came home from church and said, hey, I heard about this trip. It's to the Holy Land. I know you're not a religious person. What do you think? Do you want to go on it? And he explained it to me. It's about culinary and, you know, getting to know religion through food, and I said, you had me at food. That's all you had to
now,
say.
Really? I mean, let me just bring it to you real quick. The husband here, just say hello. And
hi, this is Dave Stoldreyer.
Okay, we got that. Dave, were you even nervous bringing this trip up to your wife? And tell us, I mean, like, how did this come about? It's like, hey, I want to go on a trip to the Holy Land. What were your thoughts when you heard about this?
Actually, not really. Pinky and I have a great relationship as far as our faith goes. We're at two different ends of the spectrum.
What does that mean? Because that sounds really weird for a marriage, does it not? It's like two different ends of the spectrum.
I'm a cradle Catholic, and I love my faith. I've embraced it, and I've always tried to grow in it. I think you can't just stand still. You have to keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. Pinky, on the other hand, is an atheist.
An atheist?
Yes.
Wait, this like the drama... just kind of kicked into high gear here. We're going to have to hand that microphone back over to Pinky right now and find out, what do you mean by an atheist? Because I think a lot of people say atheist and some people say agnostic, but I knew that you were not Catholic, but I also knew that you were a very moving part for me on this trip, and I'll explain why in a minute, but tell me, what does that mean, atheism, for you?
Oh, my. This is...
It's a big question.
It's a really big, big question. I'm Indian. My parents were raised Hindu. They took me to church.
They're some of the most religious
temple.
People I've ever met. Yeah.
They took me to temple when I was younger, but it was all in Hindi, and I couldn't understand a word of it. So it's like listening to Mass in Latin, where you really don't get much out of it. And I struggled with faith growing up. I went to temple with my Jewish friends. I went to Mass with my Catholic friends. I went to Protestant services.
Which did
Lutheran
you like better?
Services.
I'm kidding. Don't answer that question. Which served the best food afterwards, right?
The bar mitzvahs did. I took religion classes in college, and it felt like, is there something missing in me? Everybody else has this. Everybody else cherishes this. And then I figured out it's not missing me. I'm very content with my life. I'm happy with my life. I don't think there's anything else out there, and that's okay with me. And then when I met David, very Catholic, very understanding of what I believed, and we've known it from the beginning. We've raised our kids Catholic. They are doing great. I think maybe his parents had some concerns about our marriage, and understandably so, but we've been married for 28 years.
Oh my gosh, 28 years, that's, wait a minute. So that you know, whether you want to admit it or not, you have faith, because marriage requires faithfulness. It's a real beautiful, and it's like, what do you believe in? That's the question, which leads me to the question that I want to ask you. you come on this Holy Land trip with a bunch of crazy Catholics out here, right? She's pointing. She's actually pointing to particular people in the group. That's pretty indicative. But what did you think and what did you get out of it? What would be kind of like your takeaway from this pilgrimage experience?
Well, what you have to understand is, no matter what your faith is, no matter what you believe in and what you find strength in, these are people in the Holy Land who were present, lived their lives, and changed mankind as we see it. Jesus, Elijah, Moses, Mary, these are people who changed the face of human existence, really.
What do you mean by that? Like, they changed the world.
They changed the world.
In what way, do you think?
Oh, in the profession of their faith, in the changes that occurred in religion from their time onward. So you have to take these people in historical perspective. They were important. You have to know about them. You have to understand them. You have to learn about them, no matter what faith you come from.
Could you do me a favor and start teaching some religious education classes at some of these churches, please? Because what she's talking about right now is something called the credibility of revelation. I don't know if you've ever heard this term before. How many people have heard the term credibility of revelation? Anyone? No one. Exactly. A lot of people think, including some atheists, and you are like the nicest, you are the most Catholic atheist I've ever met in my entire life, honestly.
I've been told that.
Yes, you really have been. But a lot of people would think, especially atheists, that I just believe in like a fairy tale man who lives up in the sky. And that could be true, but there's something that happened in history that we actually have record of that has affected the earth, and that is called revelation. Jesus came to reveal who God is. And even 2,000 years later, we can say what he taught was credible because of the effect that he has had on so many people's lives, including a whole room of people. So credibility of revelation is what we're talking about. And what you're saying, Pinky, is we got to take the anthropology, the person of Jesus, very seriously. Whether you believe he's God or not, what he taught was pretty dang awesome. And look, if I could choose of all the gods, which God will I want to choose? I want a God that's going to like say, forgive your enemies, feed the hungry, take care of the sick. Oh, and by the way, don't be afraid of death. Believe in me. I'm going to conquer it. That's the kind of God I want to believe in. So if, I mean, I'm putting you on the spot right now, but if you could believe in a God, what would this God look like?
He would look like you, Father Leo.
Yes! A short little Filipino priest. Oh my gosh, that is awesome. And you know what? And hopefully what she is seeing is she's seeing, hopefully, the office of the priesthood in me, because, like, seriously, he wouldn't have a gut. All right? That's just all there is to it. And he's going to look a lot better in clothes than I do. Let me jump to your husband now, because he wants to actually ask a question. So, right, Dave? You kind of do, right?
Yes. One of the things we've learned on this trip is that the idea of, you know, when did the Christian come into vogue, that name? And I think we learned that in Antioch, I believe, is when the term Christians...
Correct, in Antioch.
When did the term, when did we become known as Catholics?
Ah, when did we become Roman Catholic? Well, just so that you know, the word never shows up in all of the Bible. Or does it? Dun, 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 right? I mean, because we're talking about a universal faith. And this idea of Catholic, and particularly Roman Catholic, comes about in Constantine's time, in Helena's time. St. Helena was the one who founded Christianity for her son, Constantine. By the way, just so that you know, too, this is around the year 300s. Helen had a great influence over her son, for sure. Constantine was a pagan. He was not a Catholic. He just simply said, if you're going to become Catholic, you're not going to get killed. So he kind of legalized it. And this idea of Roman Catholicism is a name that came about after that period. Why? Because all roads lead to Rome. And at one point, Rome was the center of the universe. And when you talk about Catholic, it's actually a Greek term that Greeks still use. So it's an ancient description of who we are. And right now we have a Latin Western understanding of Catholic as universal. But for the Greeks, Catholicos literally means fullness of spirit. And so it was when Christianity became, I don't want to say legalized, but protected, is when we grew. Because remember, for 300 years, if you were a Christian, you would be thrown in the gladiator pit and you would be killed. So people didn't even know who we were. They knew us as following the way, the new way, following the Christian way. And so Christianity, taking on a whole bunch of different meaning and understanding, when we started to become a little bit more organized, that's when we became Roman Catholic, the fullness of the new way, Christianity. That's a big history lesson. Have to leave it to the doctor to ask such a technical question. But it is a good question, and I hope that, did that make sense at least for you? All right, well, to Dr. Dave and Dr. Pinky, thank you so much for these awesome questions and how to even say, like, your presence. Your presence, everyone here on this trip has been absolutely amazing, but your presence, the joyfulness of every one of you has been awesome. We've got time for another comment and another question. So why don't you tell us your name and where you are from?
My name is Bill Leonard, and I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana.
And what would you like to offer? Like, what did you get out of this trip? Why did you come on this trip? And what are you getting out of it?
Well, what I want to offer is just a thank you for something a little different we did on this trip. And
what do you mean?
That was an evening that we had an opportunity, each of us, to dine with a Palestinian Christian family in their home in the West Bank.
So let's explain this, because this sounds weird. Like, when you came on this pilgrimage, did you honestly think, ladies and gentlemen, that you were going to be eating in some person's home and they're going to be cooking you a meal? I mean, did you think that you'd be doing this? No, they're kind of like shaking their head. Yeah. And so when you heard this, what were your thoughts?
Like many others on the trip, I had some reservations about, in the United States, we hear mainly, like with any news, you hear about the bad stuff, the scary stuff. So I was a little hesitant to come on the trip. And then we immediately find out, well, we're going to the West Bank to have dinner with a family. And it turned out to be, to me, one of the highlights of the trip.
Was it a peaceful experience for you?
It was a very peaceful experience, a wonderful family, very eye-opening.
And this is a program called Select to Give, working with our wonderful tour company, brought to you by Select International Tours, you know, where they have passion for the pilgrimage experience and compassion for the pilgrim. And the owner, Edita Krutnik, actually created this opportunity because at one point, Bethlehem was 90% Christian, Catholic, Roman Catholic. And now it's 6% Christian.
Right. And that was very eye-opening to me. And you know, we're not here to get in. Certainly not here to get into the politics of the situation.
Oh, we can. We can do another part two of this Shoot the Shiitake for sure.
But I just would leave it at, in the United States, we get very limited information, presumably about a lot of things.
Yes.
But with regard to this, it was heart-wrenching to see the struggles that these people are going through. Just one example, they mentioned that as Christians, you know, it costs them nearly a month's salary for one night in a hospital to deliver a baby. And it's a fraction of that if you're a Muslim in the same hospital. And it's...
There's a lot of complexities. What I'm going to ask people to do is refer to an interview I did with Omar, one of our guides in the Jordan, in the country of Jordan. And he talks about that. They do live in peace. And it's a real struggle because Christians and the Palestinian Muslims, they have a great kinship with each other, a friendship, a real brotherhood. Everyone's calling each other Habibi, which basically means dear one, right? But they also appreciate the organization and the political democracy, and I'm saying that in quotes, of the Israelis. I mean, they have an organization, a type of a justice system that makes sense. But those two cultures and countries and religions have this, let me take the word religion out. They have a political system and an ethnocentrism that really war against each other, and it leaves the Christians in the middle. So what do we need to do? Would you encourage other Christians to come on a trip like this and experience this?
Absolutely. I got a tremendous amount out of it.
And you didn't even want to come.
Well, I did. I did want to come.
You wanted to come because of the food.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Well, let's get that right. Exactly.
I've traveled with you before. Yeah,
yes.
The food and by the way, the music with Steve was fabulous too.
Let's give it up for Steve, the music, and the families. And thanks, Bill, because you're absolutely right. That is one of the more touching experiences in this Holy Land is getting to know the people at the dinner table. And if you want to learn more, find me at Father Leo. Never mind. You guys know how to. But that's the whole thing. It's table fellowship. Who here can tell me what the word companionship means? Anyone? I've been quizzing you the entire time. Anyone? Anyone?
With bread.
Anyone who breaks bread with people will become family. And I'm sorry for people who have gluten intolerance. I mean, just letting you know. All right. We've got someone very special with us. We've got Agnes. Let's give it up for Agnes, ladies and gentlemen. Tell us, Agnes, where are you from?
My name is Agnes. My home now is in Florida, St. Petersburg. I'm originally from Nigeria.
Okay.
And I've been in the United States for 42 years.
Okay.
So I came on this trip because I met Father Leo at a conference, women's conference in Tampa.
Yes, I did a women's conference in Tampa. I was the only guy there. How awkward is that, right?
So it was very, very nice. From that moment, I decided to come. And what I have experienced here is unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Who would agree with that?
Unbelievable. coming to this pilgrimage, physically, I was not in good health. And I can say that my health has improved 95%.
What? 95%?
I'm telling you, yesterday was the only day that I did not do as well I was doing. For the rest of the days, I experienced some healing, especially from other pilgrims. Everybody here is a family. Even though I'm the only one of color here.
Wait, what am I? I'm of color here.
But what I have experienced, I talked to my daughter about it. I mean, I was crying. She wants to come. And I said, come while you can. Don't come when you're 72 years old. It's going to be harder.
Wait a second.
Yes.
Did you just make a confession on Shoot the Shiitake?
Yeah.
I would never have believed that, Agnes.
Christian experience, the feeling that we can be one regardless, that I can go to the West Bank and eat dinner. If I tell somebody that, some of my friends, they would think I'm lying. How can you go to West Bank? You are afraid you may not come back alive, and you go there to eat dinner? What I have learned also from this scripture is I've learned a lot that I didn't know about the Catholic Church, even about Christianity. So now when I go to church and we read the gospel, I know exactly where it is, where we are coming from. And I know exactly what is going on.
That is awesome.
I've been on a pilgrimage before to Italy, but this is one of a kind, the best. And I will recommend my friends to give it a try.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Do I have to pay you for that endorsement, Agnes? That was pretty amazing.
Yeah, well, I'll tell them to, check you out on the internet.
Oh, yes. Give it the website, by the way.
Yes, yeah, the website, yes. And then talk to somebody who has seen it, eye to eye, not just, a story.
Yeah, we do try to make it a unique experience. And combining the food and the culture and getting people to meet people at the dinner table and getting to know the culture, and obviously with the music and the food and the amount of learning. I'm so glad that you came on this trip, Agnes. You have been one amazing blessing for all of us here. All right, and we have got one final member as we bring the Shoot the Shiitake to a close, because this has been on my mind. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and what did you get out of this pilgrimage experience?
I'm Ronnie Paul from Lake Jackson, Texas.
By the way, there's like a billion people from Texas here, and we're just so grateful.
I have to tell you the truth. I didn't want to come.
Why?
I did not want to get on an airplane.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm here. I got to get on one to get home.
That's right. That's true.
So I'm okay. I'll get home and we'll be okay.
Yep.
But
is that honestly the reason? You didn't want to just fly?
I really don't want to fly. That's right.
Okay. But then why did you, besides your wife telling you to got to do it?
Is there another reason?
Okay.
You know, 35 years, you say, yes, ma'am. What else next? What next?
Okay. You're going to do the corny joke that my dad does. I'm just like Joseph. I say nothing in this question, right? Okay.
I mean, we have three daughters. I live with four women, you know, most of my life. You know, you learn to be patient.
But you came on this trip. Tell us, what did you experience? What did you get out of it?
It's real interesting. You know, one of the hardest things, and I don't like to talk religion. You know, it's hard for most of us. But I always talk about evangelization and talking to people. And, you know, I don't want to do that. It's hard. Yeah. But you've given me an opening.
What is that opening?
A cave.
Okay, now you're going to have to break it down for some of the people. A cave.
You know.
A cave. And he's not talking about a man cave either, okay? He's talking about a cave. What are you talking about exactly?
Well, you know, we all grew up with Jesus being born in a manger in a stable.
That's right.
Knock wood, build the cover, you know. And, you know, Jesus was a carpenter.
Yep.
I don't know how many of y'all are like
so
me.
So Jesus built his own house, right?
I never heard anything different than that. So, you know, Father Lewis makes fun of me because I'm just hung up in this. Jesus was a stonemason.
He was, his father was a tecton.
And he was born in a cave, lived in a cave.
So Mary when we talk about cave.
Mary's born in a cave.
Because remember, they lived in caves.
Right. Well, and there's no trees.
No trees.
Okay, but this is my point.
And no little drummer boy.
And this is my point. You know, my point is, we're supposed to be evangelists. Well, you know, it's kind of hard to walk up and say, hey, let me tell you about God, you know.
Uh-huh.
And you can't do it. But I now have a cave being shipped to my house. So when somebody comes over and they say, what's the cave? Now I can tell them about my whole trip.
That is awesome.
You know, I don't have to make up.
And you know what? This is perfect. It's going to lead to an understanding of the fact that all of us in our Christian life have experienced a little bit of what is known philosophically as the allegory of the cave. Have you ever heard of that? It's the allegory of the cave, that someone was born in a cave and they stayed in the cave and they never walked out. And they thought that the light coming into the cave, creating shadows, was the reality. So they thought the shadows were real. And only when we step out into the light, which is kind of like what happens. Jesus was born in a cave, he was buried in a cave, and he broke through the cave, which basically means you no longer are allowed to have a man cave in your house. That's basically
what I told you means. I live with four women. I never have
You
man
never
cave.
Have a man cave.
My man cave is outside. But no, seriously, it is a big, it's a visual and it's physical, but it does open the door for discussion.
Yeah, it sure does. And I think that's the whole point. And I sure hope, and I can't thank all of you enough. And when I come back from this little break, I am going to give you my carryout order and my experience with all of these amazing pilgrims as we bring this deep dish discussion to a close on Shoot the Shiitake. We will be right back with more. And welcome back for my deep dish discussion. After re-listening to some of their questions and hearing their experiences, I just got to tell you, my first carryout order is I'm so grateful for having literally the best pilgrims a priest and a tour leader can ask for. Honestly, I've not had one bad client in doing this for almost 20 years now. So it's an amazing experience, and this group was especially fun, perhaps because my co-host Steve Angrazzano is such a goofball who I love dearly. But having him play music and just having him kind of share his gifts and minister with me. I've worked with other tour leaders before, and they all bring such an amazing experience of holiness just by their very presence and how they kind of lead prayers and do some of their sharing. So first and foremost, you all got to come on a future trip with me. It's really that life transforming. And what was even more transforming is seeing how these pilgrims come into this experience, complete strangers, and they're all leaving like best friends. We start these Facebook groups and they just stay in touch. But the thing that I enjoy most is just as a pastor of souls, getting to know people, their own experiences, and even answering some of their questions. And these questions were amazing. And they all say that there are no bad questions, just the ones that are not actually asked. And again, as I said at the beginning, they had a lot of questions for me throughout the pilgrimage, but then as soon as you put a microphone in front of their face, they all clam up, and I get it, because it's nerve-wracking to kind of make yourself seem like I don't know something and I should know something. And so this is my second carry-out order. We don't know everything, so don't pretend that you do. We will never know everything, so let's not pretend like we are experts at something. And that's why I'm so encouraged by these people who came on a pilgrimage. They spent their time and their money. They didn't know what to expect, and they walked out, you know, leaving this pilgrimage experience with way more information to help them in their own formation of being a Christian, of being a disciple, and being a, God willing, future saint. So I loved this pilgrimage experience, and I loved answering their questions, and I hope that you enjoyed this discussion. And more importantly, if you enjoyed it, support us by going to patreon.com/FatherLeoFeeds. And this episode is brought to you by selectinternationaltours.com. They have a passion for the pilgrimage experience, and these pilgrims can tell you they've got compassion. They do an amazing job in putting these trips together. So join me on a future trip by calling 800-842-4842. And I want to thank all of my pilgrims for being a part of this awesome show. It was really great. We had a whole bunch of them up on a roof at a bar, you know, drinking and talking. I felt very Jesus-like. And so if you enjoyed this, stay tuned for more. And guess what? Between now and the next time we shoot the shiitake, stay hungry.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.